T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Once again, anytime, we thank you very much for a few minutes of your time, that's for sure.
Steve, because we're going to be talking about Landon Collins and Dave Gettleman, I just want to say, let's not all get mashugana over what's going on here with the Giants, okay?
Well, give me your take on what you think, and you don't want to get mashugana or crazy, that's for sure, but nonetheless, and give us your thoughts about what transpired, which was no surprise. Everyone knew that he wasn't going to get the franchise tag. But give me your take.
Well, yes. I mean, today it was no surprise. If we spoke last week, I would have come on and said, I think he is going to be tagged. So it is a surprise. But when Dave Gettleman spoke last Wednesday at the scouting combine in Indianapolis, he set out pretty clear markers that he was not going to put the franchise tag on Landon Collins. Now, he didn't come out and say that, but he said, you know, every decision has to be made in concert with something else. There's not the word he uses. There's not 53 different silos, you know, of players. Everything bleeds into the next guy. Every contract is affected by the other one. But I went into this whole thing, Steve, I would have to say, thinking that Landon Collins is one of their best defensive players. The franchise tag number of $11.1 million is high. Now, it's one of the lowest. The only ones less money are tight ends and special teamers. So it shows you what the league pays safeties. They don't get paid as much as any other position, pretty much. But I didn't think $11 million was going to be exorbitant. I thought they could franchise tag them and then kind of use it as a placeholder and see if they could work out a deal. They could always rescind the tag if, you know, after a period of time they said, you know what, this is just not going to work out. We're never going to sign this guy.
Why didn't they trade him?
Well, now or last year?
Let's start with last year, for sure.
Well, last year, right. They assessed the situation when the team was going down the tubes, looked at Snacks Harrison, looked at Eli Apple, and said, you know, we don't think they're going to be part of our team moving forward. Let's get what we can for them now, even though it'll make our team weaker at the moment, and that's what they did. Now, they were not ready to make that assessment of Landon Collins last year at this point. They dangled a fourth round pick for him. Okay, not a third round pick, a fourth round pick. They looked at the player and said, we don't know. You know, don't forget, he didn't have a contract today. So we don't know if we're going to tag him, if we're going to try to get a long-term deal with him. We need more time to assess him and his situation. So the other two guys, they discounted. Landon Collins, they said, we don't know yet, so we need more time. That's why they didn't trade him. As far as they could have tagged him and tried to trade him now, but they probably did the better thing for Collins, which is just let him go, and so he can sign elsewhere, and he'll make good money. There's no doubt about it.
It's not good losing a three-time Pro Bowler, and even though this 2018 season was a disaster, it did not have a good year. You can make the argument, can you not, Paul, that he was the best defensive player on a bad defense?
This year, let me look and see.
He did lead the team in tackles, that's for sure.
A safety is supposed to lead the team in tackles.
He did.
Look, if you're his agent or if you're, you know, you just want to be fair, he led the team in tackles all four of his years.
Yes.
He did miss some games. He still led the team in tackles. He made the Pro Bowl three of the last 4 years. Now you can say, well, this year he really wasn't a Pro Bowler, but he was named. But he made it, so you can't discount any of that stuff. Look, Landon Collins is an excellent player. I'm looking down the list of the defensive players. Nobody had a great year. You know, B.J. Hill, the rookie, played well. Was he the best player on the team? He might have been, sure. He might have been the best player on defense on their team this year, on a bad defense. He's an excellent player. He's not a versatile player. And I think the Giants were really concerned about that. You know, you mentioned his coverage issues.
Right.
He's better, you know, in this day and age in the NFL, a lack of coverage is very difficult. It's a very difficult problem to solve because everyone has to cover almost everywhere on the field. Now, if you have one of these great tight ends, no one's going to cover him one-on-one. They just aren't going to do it. If you have Saquon Barkley split wide, I don't care if it's a safety or a linebacker, you're not going to cover him. So, you know, here's the thing, which I think you would agree with, Steve. It will be very difficult for the Giants to sign a better player than Landon Collins for anything less than $11 million a year. I think that will be very hard to do.
Eric Weddle is out there. The Honey Badger is an unrestricted free agent leaving Houston. Might the Giants, how are the Giants going? They haven't got a safety, Paul, so where are they going to go to get themselves some help?
Well, yes, you mentioned that, Steve. They need a free safety and they need a strong safety.
Yeah.
And, last I checked, those are the two starting players, a free and a strong, and they have none of them right now. So, you know, the draft is going to have to play a role here. But, you know, the guy that intrigues me is the Honey Badger. You know, he really does intrigue me. Now, he played 5 years with James Betcher in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He is a versatile safety. I mean, he can cover, he can hit, he can intercept. You know, he's more versatile than Landon Collins. Now, and he's only, what, a year older, I think, so he's still a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
But why won't he cost a lot of money? I mean, I think he'll cost...
Well, he made $7 million this 2018 season.
Right. Well, this was his year to kind of regroup. You know, you're right. He was on the market last year, and the market was not great for him at all.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to sign a 1 year contract. He played well. I don't think he missed any games. So, you know, he deserves a multi-year contract. You know, can the Giants get him for $10 or $9 million a year? I don't know. And if they can, they'll look good. But, you know, this opened up another hole on a defense that has a lot of holes. And, you know, I'm not going to I don't like the move. I'll say that right now. But I'm not going to kill it till I see what their response is. They don't have a lot of money, you know, $26 million. If they cut Olivier Vernon, they get another $11.5 million. You know, it's decent money. It's not great money with all these holes to fill with the pass rusher that they need, which I don't think they can get in free agency because that will cost a fortune. We'll see. We'll see if they trade one of these free agents, Landon Collins, and then we'll see what the money's like, and then we can really assess the situation.
And here's some money. You have Eli Manning, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think with Eli Manning, it's how much money against the cap? $23 million.
23.2. Let's not forget that .2. I would love to make that .2. You know, look, I know, and that's an issue, and that's something you can debate. Look, the Eli Manning thing, Steve, we can talk for 5 hours about should he be on the team, should he not be on the team, should they take a quarterback, should they have signed a quarterback, and should they at the very least take some of Eli's money away if they can do that. I'm not 100% sure he's going to come back for $23.2 million. My take on it was the Giants did not seem to have a strong appetite up until now to take money away from Eli heading into his 16th year. So, you know, these are all legitimate arguments and legitimate debates. And, you know, we have to see what Gettleman does with this roster when all's said and done after the draft, after free agency. Do they have Dwayne Haskins on the team? Do they not have a quarterback? Do they go with Alex Tanny and Kyle Lauletta again? I don't think they will. I think they're going to bring in somebody better, whether it's a trade up in the second round, in the first round to get somebody, or they just take a guy at number six. You know, these are all discussions we can have. You know, we have to wait and see, but, you know, right now, the Giants knew this would be a PR nightmare. It is a PR nightmare. Landon Collins is a great guy. He's a good fixture in the community. He was an excellent player for them. He's homegrown, and letting him walk out the door for nothing right now, until proven otherwise, is a bad move.
Yeah, it's terrible. And you and I were cautious about being Meshuggah about all of this. And right now, a lot of Giants fans looking at Gettleman and thinking he's Meshuggah, which is Greek, of course, as everyone knows, for crazy. What is Gettleman's plan? What is he doing here?
Well, You know, look, I can't say which, you know, safety they're going to sign. Dave Gettleman, this was a total football decision. You know, he didn't want the distraction if he tagged them and then he didn't show up. But that was just a minor factor in this. This was a total football decision. It wasn't based on anything Landon Collins was doing off the field or anything. This was assessing the player, assessing the financial value of a player, and making the decision, I don't think he's worth $11 million for this year. So, and I don't think we can come to a long-term agreement with him either. So does he have a plan? I'm sure he does. I know they want a new right tackle. I think they'll try to go into free agency to get one. The draft is still, you know, if you would ask me right now, who are they going to draft the sixth pick? I would say a defensive player, but that's subject to change. You know, I don't know if these quarterbacks are blowing them away. What I do know is that this is more than Gettleman bargained for. I think Gettleman thought they were a little bit closer when he inherited this team from Jerry Reese than they actually are. And, the first sign of that was right after the cut down day where they, cut six or seven guys, and they took guys, you know, who were cut from other and put teams and put them right on the roster, and it just followed suit. You know, they're getting rid of guys left and right. And right and left, you know, there's not a lot of guys back. The draft picks from Jerry Reese's are almost all gone. You know, Odell's one of the last remaining guys mm-hmm. from the last few years other than last year. And so, I think if you would, you know, hook Dave Gettleman up to a lie detector test, he would say, you know what? This roster and this salary cap situation was in worse shape than I anticipated. And because of that, some of these moves, like letting Landon Collins go, have become reality.
See, here is something that is more likely, and nobody, whether you're a Giants fan or not, nobody wants to see Eli Manning get hurt. But as he gets older, and I think my two cents, and what do I know, Paul? Listen, I'm thinking he is going to start the 2019 season, whether he finishes the 2019 season. There's 16 games in between. Who knows what's going to happen by the end in December. But I do think, first of all, you mentioned Alex Tanny, and I remember this from a year ago, has not taken a snap since 2015 with Tennessee. And then you have Kyle Lauletta, who with his 0-for-5 performance, couldn't drive a team, can't drive a car. They need a backup quarterback, and they don't really have one. If, God forbid, Eli either implodes, he throws five interceptions in the first half, they want to sit him down, or, God forbid, he gets hurt. The Giants' season would be over if Eli Manning gets hurt.
Yes, that's been, the case for most of his first 15 years, you know, a little bit of David Carr here and there, a little bit of Sage Rosenfels. But, yes, they've rolled the dice that Eli wouldn't get hurt, and he hasn't gotten hurt. But I think more than a backup quarterback, I just don't think they can go into 2019 with just two guys, you know, whether it's Tanny and Lauletta or Tanny and some other guy they draft or pick up, you know, in the middle rounds or, you know, some kind of journeyman nobody they pick up in free agency. They need a quarterback on this roster who increases the talent in the room, who's better than Alex Tanny, who's better than Kyle Lauletta,
sure.
Whether it's a Drew Lock or it's a Daniel Jones.
How about Haskins? Haskins is there at number six, and sure, they need an offensive lineman, a tackle for sure, and a defensive end, somebody who can harass and molest a quarterback. There's no question about that. However, if Haskins is there at six, would they take him?
I think at this point they don't know that. If you would ask me right now, I would say no, right now. But that's totally subject to change. They met with Haskins. I talked to Haskins, you know, with everyone else at the Combine. He has zero red flags, Steve. He has green flags. Off the field, he is humble. He's confident. He's very popular with his teammates. He wants nothing more than to distribute the ball, be with his family, be a religious guy, win football games. So there is no baggage with this guy at all. So it's all that's all pluses. So it's all based on, do they look at him and say he can be our franchise quarterback for 10 years? Right now, my gut is they would say no, but they have to now assess it, and the scouts and, you know, Gettleman met with him and Pat Shurmur met with him, and they're going to have to sit down and figure this all out and really study the tape of him. You know, that would be the safe pick, right? Because now what that does is that puts in motion the Kansas City Chiefs model that Gettleman talked about, is you have the veteran quarterback, you play Eli Manning. If he or the team falters, you get Dwayne Haskins ready to go. Don't forget, Steve, Dwayne Haskins has started 14 games in college. He's played 1 year. He's not ready to play in the NFL. So the more he can sit and watch and learn and get, you know, gain through osmosis from Eli, the better he'd be. You and I both know that unless the Giants go 10-6, next year with Eli Manning in that scenario, at some point there's pressure to play that first round draft pick, and then so be it. He comes on the field ready or not. You know, Eli Manning in 2004 was not ready, and they put him in the 10th week of the season. So we'll see. You know, that's fascinating, and I think a large segment of the fan base will want Haskins. I know a lot of the fan base is not sold on him. It can keep you up at night, Steve, because there's great debates here with what the Giants should do.
Of course it is, has been, and it continues to be what the core of callers with Eli Manning. Does he come? Does he go? Is he staying? Is he leaving? What is it? And what will the Giants do with number six? Do you think, I mean, does Gettleman have a history of moving down in the draft? And we know he's never drafted a quarterback. Cam Newton, of course, included. He's never drafted a quarterback. He's not a quarterback whisperer. Does he have a history of moving down?
No, he has a history of moving up, not down. Okay. So, you know, the problem there is they don't have a third round pick. So that's, you know, that's really good draft collateral that they don't have. They do have 10 picks, so they can move a bunch of fourth and fifth and sixth rounders if they need to. You know, they would probably not want to move their second-round pick. And, you know, here's another one, Steve. Mm-hmm. I think the Josh Rosen scenario was very interesting. You know, and I would not dismiss that. I think it's very interesting. You know, they liked him last year. They didn't love him, but they liked him. There were some in the building who liked him best of the quarterbacks. Pat Shurmur didn't, but he was not a guy who they dismissed last year. He was not worth the second pick in their mind, and he was not nearly the prospect that Saquon Barkley perpetrated to be. And, you know, we know how much they fell in love with Saquon Barkley. But if you could trade a second-round pick for Josh Rosen, and you keep your first-round pick, and you take the best pass rusher you got, and now you have Josh Rosen, and, you know, some people would say, then you got to get rid of Eli. I don't think so. I think you have Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen needs a reboot. You know, he needs to kind of sit and reassess. You know, he had a rough year last year with the Cardinals. They were a disaster. He was not good, but I wouldn't damn him to hell because of what happened last year on that terrible team with a worse offensive line, I would say, than the Giants had. Mm-hmm. So he could afford to sit and look and learn. And then if Eli falters, then Josh Rosen's your guy. I think that's an interesting scenario.
You think he would? He had issues personality-wise. He rubbed people the wrong way when he was at UCLA to some degree, and also in Arizona. Understandable, maybe more so because of a bad team. He threw more picks than he did with the touchdowns. I think it was 10 touchdowns, 14 picks. He also was sacked every other play. So, but he had some issues getting along with, from what I understand, Paul, some teammates. Would he be a good fit in New York?
Well, here's what I think, Steve, and what I think I know, is that the Giants' issues with him, not issues, the Giants' concerns with him last year were more based on health, because he had a, you know, concussion issue a little bit, and he's a little bit, you know, he's not the most robust physical specimen. That was more of a concern than his personality.
Okay.
He's not Eli Manning. You know, Eli Manning's got a very unique personality. It fit in perfectly in New York. I think Dwayne Haskins would be a little bit like Eli Manning. You know, he doesn't love the media. He does it. He deals with it. You know, he does a little social media, but I think he is a straight as an arrow guy who's not looking to be a superstar. He's just looking to be a great player. So I think he would be a good fit. Rosen's a little more edgy, but I don't think that really concerns the Giants. It's the quality of the player. I think the person would be okay with him.
As a reporter to a player, are you close to Eli Manning? Do you know, can you read between the lines here, between the thoughts, what his thinking is with the New York Football Giants? Do you think he thinks this could be his last season?
Oh, I absolutely think he thinks it could be his last season. First of all, he's under contract only for one more year. He's 38 years old, and he's under contract. You know, this is the last year of his contract. So I think I know that he thought last year might be his last year. So he wants to go out strong. He wants to start. He wants to get this franchise back, you know, into contention and being a quality team again. You know, and I don't think Eli is looking at all beyond this year and you know, keeping himself healthy, keeping himself mentally sharp, and hopefully the team around him will get better, you know, with Saquon, with Odell, with a better offensive line. You know, Lord knows what they're doing on defense, Steve. You know, we both agree that that's a real problem area right now. So, yeah, but I think Eli is very much, and his family is thinking, let's squeeze another year out of this. I'll fulfill my contract. And then, you know, look, the handwriting will be on the wall. The handwriting will be on the wall whether he deserves to come back again after this.
Well, see, a better question from me to you would have been, does he think it's sure, maybe his last season with the Giants? Do you think he'll retire after this season?
I think he will not play for any other team. I think he'll be a Giant, and then he will retire.
Odell Beckham Jr., here's what I think I've mentioned this to you in the past before, whenever Odell Beckham Jr. comes up in conversation for whatever reason. Nobody wants to grow, and everybody that calls the radio station with the 24/7 Giants fans, of course, he needs to mature, he needs to grow up. Nobody, Paul, wants to grow up, but he does need to get smart. Do you think as each day goes by and with what he's been through, and a lot of it is his own doing by advertising everything with social media that he does in private, do you think, instead of maybe growing up, he's gotten smarter?
Well, that's a tough question. I've said before, I don't think Odell is selfish. I think he's self-absorbed. You know, I think he sees the world through his own prism. That doesn't make him a bad guy. That doesn't make him a bad teammate. It just makes him a little bit, he doesn't have all the self-awareness that I think he needs to. I think he could work even harder, not physically, but mentally and emotionally. I think he could work harder to be a better player, to be a better route runner, to be more reliable receiver to his quarterback. You know, a little bit of the fine points that turn really, really good into great, I think he could work on that. And he needs to stay healthy because, you know, missing 3, 4, 5 games a year, it's not his fault, but he needs to stay healthy. You do not help the team when you're not playing. But, you know, he's a great talent. We all know, you know, defenses have to account for him every play, every game, all the time. So, you know, all that stuff. But, he needs to focus in more. And I don't know if he can. He's got a lot of distractions. A lot of things go on around him. You know, I think he feels very burdened a lot of times when I think a lot of it is self-inflicted. But good luck trying to replace him if you get rid of him. That's all.
Oh, yeah. No, he's a difference maker. All right, before I let you go, and I can't thank you enough, we're talking, of course, with Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, who covers the Giants. With Landon Collins, teammates' reaction. Have you gotten some reaction from teammates? He was popular. He was a captain. He certainly was a leader. And 4 years, I mean, everyone really respected him. I mean, as far as the Giants' defense is concerned, what about reaction from teammates?
Sad. I saw some stuff on social media from Michael Thomas, from Saquon Barkley. He was a popular player. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, there was, when Eli Apple left, I think there was a bit polarizing, but not with Landon Collins. I mean, I think coaches liked him. I know coaches liked him. Players liked him. The media liked him, you know, very much. He was a very stand-up guy in the locker room. He would take a lot of time with us. He would answer questions in a group. He would answer questions in a small group. He would answer questions one-on-one. He's tried to be a straight shooter whenever he could be, sometimes a little too much so, maybe for the Giants' liking. But yes, I mean, look, he was a quality player and a quality guy. Now, the Giants didn't think that that quality of player was commensurate with the money that they felt he wanted and what the tag indicated. But, you know, the Giants don't leave on any bad terms with him. This was a business decision, but look, he was a tremendous draft pick for them. He was very healthy and productive until just this last year when he missed four games. You know, he will always be a Giant in some degree, and he's 25 years old and is about to make a lot of money in free agency. So it's not, you know, although he wanted to stay, his career will move forward. Hopefully he gets on a good team and a good situation, and he could be playing in the playoffs a lot quickly, more quickly than some of his former teammates with the Giants.
Well, as you kind of indicated, all of this doesn't look good. I mean, that's for sure. And a lot of Giants fans, yes, realize that maybe in coverage, not the specialty, but in this day and age with offense, and there's so many rules or non-rules that favor offense, it's tough for anyone to cover anybody coming from somebody's offense, whether it's a slot receiver, a wide receiver, a running back, you name it. So Landon Collins is going to be missed to some degree, that's for sure. And we'll see what Gettleman's plan is once he comes up with one. Paul Schwartz, what do you think?
Well, I think he has a plan. He is not going to come. You know what? Invite him on the radio. Maybe he'll, you know, a guy like Gettleman likes to schmooze. Maybe he will come on and he will, you know, pull his sweater up and he'll, you know, sit down and talk with you and lay it out for you. Look, he has a plan. He's a smart guy. He's been around. That doesn't mean right now we have to agree with his plan. We'll see how it unfolds and then we'll reassess. You know, he was 5-11 in his first year and as a GM. And, you know, it would be beneficial to everybody if he's not 5-11 again.
And maybe Steve Cervi will do a Q&A with him.
Oh, that would be a great Q&A. I just don't know if most of it will be in English or Yiddish.
Paul Schwartz of the New York Post, who covers the Giants. Thanks a lot, Paul, a lot.
Steve, thank you. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.